It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I'm Charlie, I'm standing in for John today. Although, you know, my voice isn't quite as low and melodious as John's might be, I'll do my best to clue you in on what's going on out there. The first thing I wanted to talk about was this wonderful online site called Birdcast. And it will tell you exactly what birds are moving through overnight every night. It uses weather radar to count the height and direction of birds flying through. And for instance, on Sunday, the 28th, in Itasca County, it counted 19,900 birds that flew through between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. The top five that were moving through are the yellow-rumped warblers. You might remember those from spring. They're also called butterbutts. They've got this little yellow patch on their rump, and they're always a welcome sight in spring. And right now, they are moving south. The white-throated sparrow, which sings, "Oh, Canada, Canada, Canada." We have the ring-necked duck flying south. Golden-crowned kinglets, which are tiny, adorable birds that like to move in flocks. They're always kind of on the move. They don't really sit still very long, and they're very small. Think between like a hummingbird and a chickadee. So quite small birds, very cute. It's hard to see their little golden crown unless they're, you know, yelling at another bird and putting the little crown up. But they are one of my favorites. And then American redstarts are also moving south. So we're about halfway through migration season. And again, that website, if you want to look at it, is Birdcast. Other things moving in the bird world right now are the dark-eyed juncos, and they are moving into our region for the winter. They often come right before the snow falls, and so we heard a number of our schools seeing dark-eyed juncos over the last week. The way that I always spot them, they like to move in flocks, so you'll rarely only see one at a time. And then right on the outside of the tail, there are these two white feathers that are kind of distinctive as they fly along. So look for the dark-eyed juncos. And then I've also been seeing a lot of turkey vultures and eagles as I drive around. You know, they're both these big brown birds, both kind of heading south. The bald eagles will stick around a little bit longer. The amount of roadkill on the roads helps the bald eagles stay up here later. And then if there's open water, they'll stick around and go fishing as well. But the way I tell these two apart, turkey vultures, also known as watching TV, if you're watching a turkey vulture, turkey vultures hold their wings kind of above their body in a V shape. So think vulture, V. And then they kind of teeter back and forth as they fly. And bald eagles hold their wings even. So I think about eagle, and even, vulture, V, to think about how they hold their wings in flight. And then eagles won't tip back and forth in quite the same way that vultures will. So that's kind of an easy way to distinguish two of these large brown soaring birds from each other. Other things I've noticed as I've been driving along, I'm seeing a lot of snakes and turtles on the move across the roads as they're moving to either find their hibernacula in terms of snakes, are on the move to find wherever they're gonna hang out over the winter where they won't get frozen solid. And then turtles are on the move as well. A lot of the young males are gonna be dispersing to new territories or just finding a good spot again to settle in over the winter. So please keep an eye out for them, and if it is safe to do so, help them cross the road. Frogs are still calling occasionally in the evenings. I've seen a lot of toads on the move, especially on those kind of wet, rainy evenings. A lot of toads crossing the road, and they are, you know, getting ready to bury themselves down underneath the frost line and ride out the winter. If you're near water, I recommend keeping an eye on any logs just to see if there are any turtles out basking, particularly on warm mornings. The difficult thing about fall is that it's hard, you know, for a phenologist, is that it's hard to count, to see, to know the last sighting of something until you haven't seen it for a while. In the spring, we have it easy. The first time we see a turtle, we know it's the first time we've seen a turtle. In the fall, you never know which sighting is your last until a couple weeks have gone by. And so as John would say, it always helps to write it down. And whether that's actually writing it down in a physical notebook or taking a voice memo on your phone, just helps to have a record, and then you know when that last turtle was out basking. In terms of leaf colors, now I live down near Stillwater, Minnesota, so about 45 minutes north of the Twin Cities. So my trees are doing something very different from what's going on up in Grand Rapids. But on my side, the oaks are just beginning to change color. Generally, the oaks tend to turn red, bronze, tan, golden. And yeah, they're just beginning to change color. I'm noticing a couple of them dropping their leaves. Now, white oaks and red oaks are kind of the two big groups of oaks that we have in Minnesota. There are individual species within each of those, but red oaks and white oaks are the two major groups. The way to tell them apart is if you look at the leaf, on a red oak leaf, it's going to end in a little point. So if you think about it, like a little point, like as if you prick your finger, it might draw blood, and that is a red oak, red blood, pointy leaf. A white oak, the ends of those leaves are going to be rounded. There's nothing pointy to them. And red oaks tend to hold on to their leaves throughout winter. White oaks tend to drop all their leaves. That's a tendency. There is variation from tree to tree, but that's the general rule. The maple trees in my area are mostly, unfortunately, turning kind of brown. There hasn't been a lot of good color yet, but the leaves are definitely falling. Along my driveway, I would say over half the trees are bare of the maple trees, mostly sugar maples. And the basswoods are also dropping a lot of their leaves. But of course, the old buckthorn and honeysuckle are still, have all of their leaves and will well into October. So always a good idea to keep an eye out for those. And looking forward into October, some of the things we've got to look forward to around the 1st of October, so this week, the last of the black-eyed Susans will be ending their flowering period. Same thing down here in the city's area, we'll be seeing the last of the purple cone flowers. The red raspberries will begin to change into a very vibrant red color. So keep an eye out for those raspberry leaves to be changing color here soon. October 6th is John's average for first leaf fall for the red maple. And then October 10th is the average for the tamarack, with all of the needles being colored on the tamarack trees. Tamaracks, again, are those odd conifer trees that are also deciduous. They drop all of their needles every fall. Last I heard from the Grand Rapids schools, the tamaracks weren't starting to turn color yet, so it seems like we're gonna have a little bit of a later fall than usual, which makes sense given how warm everything has been over the last month. And then October 14th is the rough average for the last mourning cloak butterfly in Hubbard County, and those mourning cloak butterflies are the same ones that we see in spring. So they overwinter as adults. These ones we're seeing flapping around out here in October are the same friends we'll see in the spring. The last thing I wanted to note before we wrap up here is just the wonderful world of fungi that is out there right now. I know very little about funguses, about mushrooms. I am absolutely a beginner. But beginner or not, if you know how to identify any of them or not, they're just really fun to go out and look at. So I have been, you know, on my hikes and stuff, just trying to keep more of an eye out for fungi. And in my explorations, I found some really cool ones. Do I know what they are? Nope. Do I think they're pretty awesome? Absolutely. So I found one that I lifted up a log because I was looking for a salamander. Didn't find one. What I did find was a empty acorn husk. And inside, just this tiny little acorn husk, were about 8 of these minute little white mushrooms growing, just happily growing inside of this acorn. And it was a lovely little, fairy experience. Just seeing those tiny, tiny mushrooms in an acorn. And then another kind of otherworldly mushroom that I found. So I was looking kind of close to a bog, this kind of wet area, and on this extremely ordinary, run-of-the-mill brown mushroom, there was this mushroom was sprouting what I can only describe as whiskers. It almost looked like a werewolf mushroom where it had fur. And at the tip of each of these hairs was just a little gland, like something wet, a little droplet. I have no idea what it was. I took a picture, I went home, and started, you know, Googling away mushrooms with hair. And what I found is that there's a group of molds called pin molds. And within this group, there's another subgroup called the Spinellus species or genus. And they are essentially parasites on mushrooms that, yeah, have this really unique look. And so they'll find a good mushroom and grow these little pin hairs, and that's how they spread their spores and go to new mushrooms. But yeah, a mold on a mushroom, who knew? And there, of course, there are these absolutely gorgeous specimens of mushrooms. I've found these orange ones with little black eyelashes. I've found purple ones, just pure white ones. The Amanita mushrooms, which look, if you think about like the Mario mushrooms, the white ones with a red cap with little white dots on it. Those are Amanita mushrooms. Those are beautiful, but absolutely not edible. Don't even try it. They are not good for you. And what I haven't seen yet this year are those big white puffball mushrooms, those gigantic white ones that are like the size of a soccer ball. I haven't seen those yet this year. I think maybe they pop up later in October, but I'm keeping an eye out for those. And yeah, if you've got some time this week, absolutely would recommend getting out and looking for some mushrooms. That's the Phenology Show for this week, and get out there, have some fun.